Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And we are here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular features are coming up. What you just heard there was music from the band Blue Front. And they will be performing on Wednesday, January 24th at Subterranean as part of a bill that features three other acts that have all been on this show before. So so I'm very happy to welcome for the first time into the studio here. We have Alan Zarechny. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm not bad. And we have Jason Steele. Hi. Jason. Welcome. And and Nick Cabot. Hi, Nick.
Hi, nice to be here.
How you doing? All right. So get up on the mics pretty close as we talk. So Alan, tell me a little bit. You write all the songs and everything. Tell me a little bit about Blue Front.
Blue Front started just because I kind of wanted to start. I felt like a need to start writing songs and playing, and that's how it started.
When did you find this need to? Was it early on in your life, or were you late to the game?
You know, I like to think that it was always hanging around, and I just was in school and grad school, all kinds of things, and then I met someone, and it just sort of inspired me to do it, and then I started sort of secretly playing without telling anyone, going to open mics and played a couple songs for a friend of mine, and played in their band a couple times, and then I started doing it.
Yeah.
And then I've known Jason for a long time. Actually, Jason, he tries to. It's not his fault. It's my fault. But he tries to teach me jazz improvisation and things like that, and I'm a terrible student. But one day we sort of got a bill together where I was going to open up for one of his I don't remember which incarnation.
I don't remember which one it was either. Yeah.
And he just sort of probably regrets it now, but said, "You want me to sit down a couple songs with you?" Because I was just going to play by myself.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it in this partnership began.
Just started, yeah.
How long ago?
I'd say about 7 years.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years. Yeah. And Alan, you're from Chicago?
I'm from Chicago.
What? Yeah. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in various suburbs in the North Shore, but my parents have lived in Glencoe for a long time.
Glencoe,
yeah.
Oh, that's where Joel Goodson from Risky Business lived, from the movie Risky Business. That's where he lived. So, where are you from, Jason?
Originally Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to Chicago?
Music.
Yeah,
mostly. So I've been here for like 15, 16 years.
Okay,
so.
Nick, what about you? Where are you from?
I grew up around the Skokie area.
Oh, okay.
Morton Grove.
Okay, Morton Grove. Sure. And Alan, when did you? So you started playing? Did you start playing? Did you play music when you were a kid at all? Like, did you take lessons and all that? Was that the regular thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hated taking piano lessons and didn't want to practice even though I knew I should, and guitar lessons, and then put it down and focus on school, and then sort of picked it up when I was done with school.
Yeah,
yeah.
And now you were in the professional world for a while.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, no, then we won't talk about it. No. I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. But it's interesting how you did that, and then you got backed into music.
No, I was I still am. I guess it's okay to say a lawyer.
Yeah, you're a lawyer. Yeah. That's fine.
I still have my license. I just did it and wound up just hating everyone. It wasn't even the work so much.
You're hating everyone. All right.
People, you know, there's... You wouldn't believe me if I told you, but...
I think I might.
Yeah, there's some weird things that happen when people, like, get caught up in a certain life.
What kind of law did you practice?
I was did a lot of asset-backed financings.
Mm.
So I worked... Do you want to sleep? I don't want to put your...
No, it's all right.
So I did a lot of large computers and semiconductor manufacturing equipment, and then aircraft deals, and then... these weird loop debt transactions that no one particularly understood.
Yeah.
But like, you would have 50 lawyers going to New York working on them all the time, and it was complete chaos.
And then you hated everybody.
You know, you'd find some nice people, but people were so wrapped up in, you know, this deal is worth some insane,
right.
I mean, ridiculous amounts of money, which weren't even real dollars. I mean, it was sort of a
tax
advantage thing.
Yeah.
But that made them, for lack of a better word, cool.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. I didn't have
That's not your deal, man.
I just have a lot of patience.
Did that inspire you when you started writing songs again? Did the experience that you had worth that? Did it inspire you at all? Or did you just completely drop that and move on?
It just one day, I'll remember this forever. I had a panic attack at my desk, and the phone rang, and I just said I can't do this anymore. And that was, it took a long time to leave, but that was the
but
end.
That was an epiphany right there.
That was it. Over.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Interesting, man. Really interesting. Jason, how'd you start in music? From way back?
Yeah, from like junior high. I had a friend in junior high that got a drum set for Christmas, and he wanted to start a band. So
cool.
I, of course, volunteered, not having any musical experience or playing an instrument, so I think I volunteered to be the singer. And we roped his brother in to be the guitarist because he's a few years older than us and had a couple lessons. But he quit like in the first 15 minutes, I want to say. Because he was totally frustrated with us because neither one of us had any training. So it was like we just were making noise.
Yeah.
So he left the house, and I picked up his guitar, and
that was it.
That was it.
Did you take any lessons? Or?
I did take a lot of lessons after that, but that was like the first step.
That was it, the first step.
Yeah, we were just like writing noise music the first day.
And how many bands you've been in? Can you keep track?
I can't keep track of how many. Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah, but start right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Nick, how about you? When did you start getting into music?
Yeah, my parents both were musicians.
Mm-hmm. It's in the family.
Kind of was hard to escape.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. My dad was a classical percussionist when I was born. Started the piano lesson thing around kindergarten, I think.
Yeah.
And then gravitated towards drums.
Well, okay. Now, your dad's a percussionist.
Yeah.
So he must have been happy that you gravitated toward drums.
I think he was happy.
I think the
instruments were in the house, and I was, you know, naturally drawn to it. So.
Yeah. But you started with piano.
I did, yeah. Formally, you know.
Right.
Banging on the pots and pans probably before that. But,
right. Very, very cool.
Yeah, started on piano. Still play that, but now, you know, I like to do both.
How did you get involved with these two guys?
Let's see. It was kind of a word of mouth thing. And then Jason and I work at a music center together. We teach lessons. Just kind of like, you know.
It's like it happens a lot in the music scene. It's like, you know, this guy, that guy knows this girl, and this guy knows that guy, and this guy's
a mutual friend.
Yeah.
You guys gig in a lot of different. Do you gig in a lot of different bands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a freelance pianist and drummer and percussionist. Yeah.
And what do you guys think of the Chicago music scene, Alan? What do you think?
I think it's pretty interesting. There's space for. It seems like there's space for everyone to do something at some level, and you just sort of. And what's cool is you meet people, and then the next thing happens, and you don't really know what it is going to be, and then you wind up getting a show at Subterranean, and things like that.
So. Jason, what about you? What do you think of the?
I really
like the scene?
It. Yeah, it seems really accessible, and like you know, you can play a lot of different places, and it's you don't have to wait 3 months to get a gig, kind of thing.
Yeah,
know? It's not like the bigger city, like in New York, it's totally different.
So. Yeah, Nick, what do you like the scene? Obviously,
I love it. It's almost like there's like. 20 or 30 all happening simultaneously, and then you know I'm always learning about new little niches of it. So
yeah, it's funny. I've had a lot of bands in the performing live because I love to have musicians in and to see live music in the studio. And I'm the thing that strikes me about the years that I've been doing this and having you know local musicians in is. Just how inclusive the Chicago music scene is. You know, it doesn't seem real competitive, and if we need a bass player, they can use our bass player and that kind of thing. I remember one week I had a sort of a big jazz band in here, and the keyboardist set up his keyboards right over there in the corner, and we had them in there, and they played, and they were great. And then 4 days later, I had a different group come in, same keyboardist came in, set up his stuff, and then that happened four or five times. I'm like, wait a minute, you were just in here last week with a different band, but that's I guess that's kind of the thing, right?
Yeah,
cool. You guys ever played Subterranean before?
I think I have.
I have a couple times.
Yeah, it's a great room, man. Yeah,
it's big.
It's big. It's so uniquely set up. The way it's set up, because you got the balcony up around the top. It's a really cool room.
It is. Yeah.
And you guys are playing with some really talented people that night. You know, like I said, all three of them have been on the show: David Hayes, Trick Shooter Social Club, Noah Gabriel, and And you guys are performing. And it's Wednesday night, January 24th at Subterranean, which is at 2011 West North Avenue. It's a 21 and over show. It starts at 8. Tickets are $8 in advance, $10 at the door. Bluefrontmusic.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page that'll take you right there. So check it out. Now, we're going to take a break, you guys. Relax. We got the news coming up, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little more and then hear a song. Is that cool?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So we are here with Alan and Jason and Nick from Blue Front, and we'll hear some live music right after we take a break for the news, which is next on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. That's music from Blue Front, who are playing on Wednesday, January 24th at Subterranean on North Avenue. And tickets are $8 in advance, 10 at the door, 21 and over show. It starts at 8 o'clock. Bluefrontmusic.com is the website. We have a link on our Facebook page. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And all the regular Friday features are coming up, and I will also give you my predictions for the Golden Globes for this weekend. Sunday night, the Golden Globe Awards will be announced, and I will give you my predictions, or not even that, in who I hope would win. So soon. So in the studio with me are Alan Zarechny, Jason Steele, and Nick Cabot from Blue Front. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, so I know the story because I read a little bit. I did a little reading about you guys. Where'd the name Blue Front come from? I love this story.
Oh. I was thinking of names for a band, because even though I was playing by myself, I just thought it'd be cooler to have a band name.
Right.
And I was talking to my sister, and I was coming up with one lame thing after another, and she said, well, no. And she said, why don't you think about a time in your life that was just really great? And then she said, what was the name of the street you lived on in school? I said, Arbor Street. That seems like a really bad name. For a band.
You were going to call the band Arbor
well,
Street?
Well, that's what she said. She thought, what was the name of the street? Like, that'd be a great name.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's the worst one.
Yeah.
But then you couldn't associate, you can't associate Arbor Street without this place called the Blue Front, which was this disgusting place that sold basically Doritos, toothpaste, and mostly kegs of beer. And nobody knew our street. If you told someone I live on Arbor, they'd never know. But I live two doors down from the Blue Front. Oh, of course. So I just took Blue Front, made it one word, and that was it.
Yeah. That's good. That's a great origin story.
But now, unfortunately, now it's become it got cleaned up, and it's become a craft beer place. So it's totally...
Is it still called Blue Front?
It's still called Blue Front.
It is, and now it's a craft beer, gentrified...
Fancy craft beer. It's like, no, we used to steal milk crates from the back to use as nightstands.
That's great. That's great.
That's Blue Front.
Okay, that's where it comes from. That's pretty cool. And now the place is like, where is it?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
It's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Yeah, okay.
At the corner of... And also, Arbor Street is just, it's got maybe 8 of houses on it.
Yeah.
So it's at the corner of State and... huge intersection. No one, you'd have to say it, but that's where Blue Front was.
That's where Blue Front. Yeah, I know where you are now. Yeah. 4 hours from the Blue Front. That's funny. That's really cool. Let's talk. Well, it's really funny. You wanted to come up with a band name. Jason, you said you've been in a bunch of bands. How often have you sat in on the incredible process of trying to name a band?
Very few times.
Oh, okay.
I would say.
Yeah.
Just because, I got into jazz. Like, we just kind of just go by our names.
Right.
So it was not too many naming.
I love the origins of how bands got their names. How about you, Nick? Have you been in bands where you guys have had to come up with stuff?
A little bit of input. But yeah, kind of like Jason. That's always my most dreaded part of the band experience, to be honest.
I know. I had a band in here one time, and they said that they just it was like they spent weeks trying to come up with a name. They were getting mad at each other. There was a lot of drinking going on, and it was just, they were accomplishing nothing. They were throwing names out, names after names after names, and nobody could agree on anything. And finally, they're like, let's take a break from this crap. And they got on the Red Line, and they were going to go to Chinatown and just get some food and take a break from all this, And they, for some reason, they're in the L, and they hit the stop at Armitage. And they all kind of look at it, and they all kind of look at each other, and then they name their band Armitage. So that's where they came from. I just exactly. Tell me about your writing process. Do you write the music first? You write the lyrics. Tell me a little bit about how that works for you.
I wish I had a good answer. I don't really know.
No, it just happens.
Yeah, I'll come up often because I'm trying to practice something that I can't, or working on something, and it'll lead to something, an accident. I'll try to recreate that, and music will come out, and I'll try to put a story to it. But I wouldn't pretend to say I had a process that I knew would work and could repeat on a time. It's probably a bad thing, but I can't.
No. I was just curious as to how, inspiration.
Sometimes I have a line that I'll write down. I always write things down, and so that could be the genesis of a story.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a method I would certainly recommend to anyone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we hear a song? Why don't you guys grab your instruments and you can tell us what song we're going to hear. And however, guys, you want to be comfortable playing is fine. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, you can mic that over there. And, as you guys are getting ready, let me tell everybody about the gig. It's Wednesday, January 24th. It's at Subterranean, which is at 2011 North West North Avenue. It's a 21 and over show, the tickets are $8 in advance, $10 at the door, and you can check out bluefrontmusic.com for more information. We have a link on our webpage as well. And the show is also featuring David Haynes, Trick Shooter Social Club, and Noah Gabriel, and these guys, Bluefront. So what song are we going to hear?
It's Not Over Yet.
It's Not Over Yet. Okay.
I'm okay like this.
You guys are fine. Yeah.
Hello, it's me again. Hello, it's your love. Lost lonely friend, and I've come to see this to the end. Still see your face when you said I'd make you cry, right before you turned around to say goodbye without a hint of a reason why. Do you remember what I seem to forget? Sometimes when it's over, it's not over yet. Am I throwing good time after bad? A devil's bargain if ever one was at indecision. It's driving me mad. I hear it's only bright is when it's dark. Is the tunnel ending, or is that the last vestige of a spark? It's sure to leave a mark. Well, do you remember what I can't seem to forget? Sometimes when it's over, it's not over yet. Drunk on the lies that get me through the day. Keep telling myself I'll find that place. Sixes and sevens, I pray to the heavens, but it just won't go away. Do you remember what I can't seem to forget? Sometimes when it's over, it's not over yet.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. Really, really great stuff, man. Really, really great. Why don't we take a quick break, okay? We'll take a break, and we'll talk a little bit more, and then hear another song. That's Blue Front is the name of the band. They're playing Wednesday, January 24th at Subterranean. Tickets are $8 in advance, 10 at the door, 21 and over. Bluefrontmusic.com for more info, and we have a link on our Facebook page. We'll come back to talk with Alan, Jason, and Scott a little bit more and hear another song live in studio right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 with the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All of our regular Friday features will be coming up, and we are headed towards crowning the Dummy of the Year. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. And I'll give you my thoughts on the Golden Globes, which are being handed out this Sunday night. That music that you heard is from Blue Front, and we just heard a really terrific song live in studio from them. Alan, Jason, Nick, welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the song you guys played live.
It's called "It's Not Over Yet," and yeah, it's just about a relationship that was, you know, a little tumultuous.
Yeah,
had like 15 or 25 or 30 breakups, and
yes,
so
one of those
that was not over yet at the time.
Oh, seriously? That's
So it went back several times after that.
I see,
for sure.
What's that line in Seinfeld where they said breaking up is like knocking over a Coke machine? You have to give it more than one push.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Who were some of your influences? What do you listen to?
Oh, wow. I think I grew up sort of listening to Beatles and solo Beatles stuff, and then derivative Beatles stuff.
I totally understand, man.
And then things that grew from there. And then also got into listening to jazz. But as far as stuff like this, it was anything that sort of came from that tree.
Yeah.
I was listening to.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, what about you? You were into jazz as well, but when you were growing up, what'd you listen to?
Well, I have a brother that's 4 years older, so I pretty much started with hair metal.
Ah, there you go.
So that was the first, really, like the type of music I got into the most. In the beginning.
How did you get into jazz? When did that all start for you?
I was like in high school, and a couple rock band buddies said, hey, you should join the jazz band. It's an easy A.
And, is that right?
That is right. That's how it happened. And then I was like, started getting into it, I'm like, I really like this music a lot.
Yeah.
So then it went from there.
So the improvisation thing that you sometimes try to teach Alan, where did that, is that something that you like to play around with?
Yeah, I mean, that's mostly from like the jazz learning, you know, like through college. That's what I went to college for even.
Yeah.
For that. So it's where it comes from.
Nick, what did you like grow up listening to? What were your influences?
I liked a lot of, I was really into Rush, I remember.
Yeah, Geddy Lee.
Drums for whatever reason. I mean, not for whatever reason, they're great, but yeah, that was one group I really loved growing up, Steely Dan.
Oh, man.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because, I mean, I love Steely Dan. I absolutely love Steely Dan, but they're a very divisive group.
Yeah, they're a polarizing
group. Oh, my God. Because people, if you like Steely Dan, you love them.
Right.
You know, and if you don't like Steely Dan, you hate them.
Exactly.
But I happen to, I mean, I just think they're amazing. I've gotten into pretty intense arguments about Steely Dan. Most of the time I hear, when we talk about Steely Dan, I hear cold and soulless.
Yeah,
you know, that's the usual complaint.
Hard to follow lyrics.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Relate to the lyrics.
But if you listen to those records, they're the best recorded albums. The Steely Dan records are so impeccably produced and sound so amazing. I don't know.
It took like 8 or 10 takes on most of them.
Yeah, it's
crazy. It takes like a different rhythm section every song.
I know. So. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I love that band. So, and about jazz, when did you get into jazz drumming?
Yeah. I used to, you know, watch like the big band Buddy Rich, Louie Belson guys. That was obviously an early influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Elvin Jones, Tony Williams, all those monster players
were
indefinite source of inspiration, no doubt, as well.
Let me ask you guys, every time I have people who have trained in jazz or played in jazz bands, did you see Whiplash? If so, what did you think? Especially the drummer.
I did see Whiplash.
What did you think?
It was pretty Hollywood-fied, I suppose.
Yeah.
I've never punched a hole through a drum.
Right.
Never had my knuckles bleed quite that extensively.
Right. Never had a cymbal whipped at your head.
No.
I love the movie, but every time what did you think?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. No.
Of course, you're a drummer. You play jazz. Of course, you saw it.
Yeah.
I love that movie. The year it came out was one of my favorite films of that year. But every time I've asked like jazz musicians about it, they go, "Yeah, it's fine," or they get angry. Like I had a jazz drummer in here, and I asked him if he saw Whiplash, and he's like, "Yeah, I saw it. Nobody sets their kid up like that," and it's like starts getting really angry about it because of the technical point of view, which I think is really funny.
Kind of like Rocky for jazz school or something.
Yeah,
it's like a sport has that sports movie
right
mentality almost, but with a jazz school concept.
You guys never had a teacher, an instructor? Did you guys ever have any mean instructors? No,
not like that guy.
No. Like I said, you never had a cymbal whipped at your head. So now, is there a favorite type of music that you guys like to play? I mean, you know, Alan, the kind of stuff you play is it mostly like singer songwriter stuff? Is that the kind of stuff that you?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't. It's yeah. I think it's a little all over the place.
It's all over.
Yeah.
Do you like the recording process? Do you find that?
That was
fun?
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that a lot. We recorded in a really cool place with someone we know pretty well, so it was fun and interesting, and you know, made things sound different than I had sort of thought going in, but much better.
So, like, when you get the input from like, you know, mixers and producers and stuff like that, it changed the sound maybe a little bit.
A little bit,
yeah.
Yeah.
Were you in for the better? You think?
For the better, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That's cool. Have you guys recorded before? A lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you like the process?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
Totally. Yeah. Is it? Do you like gigging more, or do you like the recording part of it? I mean, you guys are jazz musicians, so you probably like gigging more because you get to go right down different avenues, right?
They have their each of them have their perks.
Yeah,
I think.
I think I like them both.
Yeah. I like the micromanaging you can get in the studio. You know, like the perfection, striving towards that perfection
right
is always fun.
Right,
and also having the freedom to have as many takes as possible.
Right, if you screw up, you can do it over and over and over again. And now with the technology that you have, it's much easier. Before,
yeah, totally,
when it was tape and analog, it was a little more difficult.
Totally, yeah.
So I always ask musicians who come in two standard questions every time. So I want to ask you guys, this is your first time on the show, so I get to ask you this question. Alan, first album you ever bought?
Huh. Well, I'm not sure. It's one of two.
Okay.
So it's either those Beatles compilation,
the blue and
the red, or Band on the Run. I'm not sure which one came first.
Okay.
I think I started the Beatles thing through by listening to Paul McCartney.
By listening to Wings?
And then came through.
Yeah. So that's a good avenue. And by the way, I'm a Paul guy. I know that's like an unpopular. Are you a John guy?
I started totally as a Paul guy, but in the last probably 10, 15, 20 years, I've become a much more of a George guy.
There you go. My producer Dan is a George guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Paul guy, unapologetically. And you know, and I know that Wings, you know, they have a, you know, people hate that band.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that band. I think Band on the Run, and I think Venus and Mars, those are great records. Those are great records. Okay, so first album then is either Band on the Run or The Blue or Red.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to go after that. It's too embarrassing. So
you said hair metal already, so
I did preface
okay,
that.
Mine's probably more embarrassing.
I believe it was Poison. Look what the cat dragged in. But it was on cassette tape.
It was on cassette. Okay. All right, Nick. What are you?
So we're talking own money. Like,
yeah, first going out, I'm going to get a record.
My allowance money in like 97 was pooled for like the NSYNC album at Target or something. I kid you not. No shame.
All right, man. All right. Okay. All right. First concert you ever went to, Alan?
I think it was probably the Police.
The Police. Nice. Yeah. Nice. They were my favorite band when I was in high school.
Open for them.
I was there. Were you in the city? Was it Rosemont Horizon?
Yeah.
I was there. 1981. I was there. All right. Jason, what about you?
I'm less embarrassed about this. It was Ozzy Osbourne and Alice in Chains. It was his No More Tours tour.
Wow.
He first announced he was going to stop touring.
Wow, he really kept that promise.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, first concert.
I think it might have been Dave Matthews.
Don't be you're in a Dave Matthews safe zone, my friend. I've seen Dave Matthews over 30 times.
Alpine Valley up north, I think, when I was about 13, I want to say.
Speaking of drumming, my favorite drummer alive right now is Carter Beaufort.
Yeah, Carter is
unbelievable.
He's super unique, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he plays all these fills, he does all this stuff, he's amazing, and he's blowing bubbles the whole time and smiling. He's the happiest drummer on the planet.
True,
so that's cool. Really quickly, I can tell you mine. My first album ever was Black Sabbath, Paranoid. And my first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. Jim Dandy to the rescue with Bad Company opening before Bad Company's first album came out, so nobody knew who they were. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
All right, let's hear a song, guys. You ready for another one? And, once again, this is Blue Front, everybody. And you can see them at the Subterranean on Wednesday, January 24th. You can go to bluefrontmusic.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. Okay, whenever you guys are ready.
Sorry.
Could you believe in something you can see? Or in a time where the edges aren't as sharp as they used to be? I've grown tired of this rusted armor, worn down by the constant stain it leaves behind. Still the aftershocks take their toll long after the reason's gone. They grab hold, never let go. They taunt you, then haunt you until the next comes along. Could you find a bridge to the other side of the price you paid? Or to solid ground where the beginning doesn't seem so far away? I've grown tired of this rusted armor, worn down by the constant stain it leaves behind. Still the aftershocks take their toll long after the reason's gone. They grab hold, never let go. They taunt you, then haunt you. And now it's gas on fire, but the stakes are higher. Aftershocks.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
That was really, really, that was really unique and really terrific. And, you know, like the time change, all that stuff. Really nice, man. Really, really good. Thank you guys so much for coming down. Really, it was great meeting you, and I hope you guys have a great time at the gig. Wednesday, January 24th at Subterranean Blue Front. We got to take a break here. The news is coming up in 5 seconds.